The Haynesboro Assembly approves an MOU with Mosquito Lake School supporters, and six candidates for Haynes School District Superintendent make it through the interview process. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday voted in favor of designating the Mosquito Lake School as a community center. The move will allow for access to grants to cut back on utility costs, but more importantly, Upper Valley residents will now have a place to gather. The quest of Friends of Mosquito Lake School and Community Center to turn the facility into a gathering place for residents has been going on for a while now. Of course, the first choice is to get the building up and running as a school, but low student numbers make that unlikely. The school was forced to shut its doors in 2014 after enrollment dropped off. Since then, residents have been lobbying the borough to let them use it as a community center. Around 20 Highway residents showed up at the assembly meeting this week to support the Memorandum of Understanding, which would officially designate the building as a community center. Dana Hallett is president of the nonprofit Friends Group. He said he couldn't tell which way the assembly would vote.
It surprised me that it passed.
Hallett said the board will figure out what happens next at a meeting on Saturday morning.
Well, the next step is to kind of reflect a little bit into, I want to get this in. I mean, I am very appreciative of the borough assembly. I mean, it unanimously passed, and that's great. I think they've got, there's a lot of support there for what we're trying to do.
Though some were more supportive than others. At the meeting, Assemblymember George Campbell started off the discussion with this.
I think it's in the best interest of the borough to put it up for sale and get it, get rid of it. And I recognize people want a community center out there, but I think at this point in our borough, I think this is something that needs to be looked at during our budget cycle and not done midterm.
According to the borough, the school costs around $30,000 a year to maintain. The agreement allows the borough to qualify for power cost equalization, or PCE, which has the potential to provide significant savings. The MOU will automatically renew each quarter until either party wants to change or cancel the agreement. The assembly wasn't opposed to putting the building up for sale, but most felt it would be better to wait at least 6 months or a year to see how the community center does before yanking it away. Here's Ron Jackson.
The people up there at least deserve a community center. We have multiple opportunities here in our reach here, but for them to attend a community event, have a community function, is to come downriver, and that's a long drive.
Campbell responded.
I live out there in the area. I live there by choice. I don't think the borough owes the residents that live out there anything more than it owes any other residents. One of the questions I think the assembly needs to ask itself, how does this get us close to priorities?
There's nothing in the MOU about selling the building or not selling it, but interim manager Brad Ryan said the agreement wouldn't prevent a sale if that's what the assembly decides. The motion to enter into an MOU passed unanimously, 5-0. Assemblyman Tresham Gregg was absent from the meeting and did not phone in. Campbell then suggested the assembly direct Ryan to put the building up for sale. The motion failed to get a second, so Campbell then moved to reconsider the original vote. He eventually withdrew that after some discussion. Hallett said he envisions a wide array of events, educational functions, and fun activities at the Mosquito Lake Community Center. He added that the possibilities are endless. The full MOU is available at khns.org. The assembly on Tuesday also voted against redistributing the $14,000 originally allocated to the Haynes Animal Rescue Kennel. That chunk of money will now go from the community chest into the general fund. Assemblymember Ron Jackson made the motion to divide that money, which was declined by Hark earlier, among six nonprofits. The move would have funded those agencies to almost 90% of what they originally requested from the borough. A few residents spoke out in favor of giving the money to other local organizations, including Hark director Tracy Mikowski.
We did not accept those funds because we felt it would be a huge disservice to our fellow nonprofits. We were never told, nor was it implied, that if we didn't use the $14,000, that it would be removed from the community chest and made unavailable to any of the other nonprofits.
The vote was 3-2 for Jackson's motion to keep the money within the nonprofit world. But when there are only five assembly members present, remember Tresham Gregg was absent and did not call in, four out of five votes are needed to win. So the motion failed. Jackson said Wednesday he forgot about the four-vote rule until the motion was on the table, but even then he wasn't sure how it would go. Diana Lapham voted against reallocating the money to the nonprofits, but she said the decision was difficult.
I don't like spending all the money and then worrying about where it's going to come from on the next term. But this money has been appropriated for the nonprofit. I don't have an answer. I am conflicted.
Campbell also voted against it, but was less hesitant with his choice. He said, as he often does, that the borough's big priorities are the wastewater treatment plant, Lutac Dock, and the small boat harbor. And giving this $14,000 to nonprofits doesn't get the borough any closer to those goals. Assemblymember Margaret Friedenauer responded.
I would argue that our first priority is always quality of life. And the money is already allocated. Nobody has given me a proposal of how to use $14,500 to further the priority of Lutac wastewater treatment or any other priority. I'm getting a proposal in front of me that specifically outlines how this $14,500, which was originally intended to go toward nonprofit, can be used to accomplish that, and that is what I'm considering.
Jackson said he's not giving up on getting that money to the nonprofits, but he'll have to convince either Lapham or Campbell to reconsider. The Haines School Board interviewed 6 superintendent candidates today over Skype. The board will choose finalists tonight after meeting in executive session. 3 of the semifinalists have superintendent experience in Alaska, 1 is a superintendent in Michigan, and the others are working on their superintendent certifications in Idaho and Montana. The board interviewed the lower 48 candidates first today, starting with Anthony Habra, superintendent for Pawpaw Schools in Michigan. Habra has 6 years of superintendent experience in that state. After working as assistant superintendent for a year in Big Sky, Montana, candidate Tom Yaris helped revamp a small private school there, which is now called Discovery Academy. Yaris is working on his superintendent license. Applicant Christina Brinkerhoff is also in the process of earning her superintendent certification. She's been the elementary principal at Lewiston School in Lewiston, Idaho, since 2006. Norma Holmgard is one of 3 candidates currently in Alaska. She worked for 20 months as the superintendent of the Yupit School District on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta before resigning and leaving the district in February. Before that, Holmgard worked as an administrator for the Kenai Peninsula School District. She lives in Soldotna. Applicant Connie Newman was a superintendent for 3 years in the Chatham School District, which includes Klukwan, but is based in Angoon. She is currently superintendent of the Pribilof School District on St. Paul Island. Finally, candidate Robin Gray is superintendent and principal of Yakutat School. She's been there since 2014. Before that, Gray was an administrator in Dillingham and the Bering Straits region. The board plans to choose 3 finalists from these 6 candidates tonight. The finalists will come to Haines for in-person interviews. Tune in to KHNS tomorrow morning to hear the board's decision. Sentencing is planned for this spring for a Skagway Borough Assembly member and businessman convicted of willful failure to timely file income tax returns. 60-year-old Dan Henry, operator of the Skagway Fish Company, pled guilty to 4 misdemeanor charges Tuesday morning in U.S. District Court in Juneau. A plea agreement was reached between prosecutors and Henry's attorney after nearly 2 years of negotiations. Assistant U.S. Attorney Jack Schmidt explained how Henry would refuse to designate any annual income over $1,000 in 4 years' worth of financial disclosure reports to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Yet, on at least 12.5 occasions between 2008 and 2012, Henry would ask a family member for a cashier's check or a deposit of between $9,000 and $9,900 to evade U.S. currency laws and conceal his income from the Internal Revenue Service. Banks normally report any money transfers of $10,000 or more. Defense and prosecutors recommend a prison term of between 8 and 24 months in prison, but U.S. District Court Judge Timothy Burgess has the discretion to impose a longer term. Henry will also be ordered to pay just over $660,000 in restitution to the IRS for unpaid taxes between 2004 and 2012. Because Henry signed off on a plea agreement earlier this month, prosecutors agree they won't prosecute him for any other related offenses revealed by their latest investigation. But Henry no longer has the right to appeal the conviction or a possible sentence. Henry declined to comment when leaving the courtroom and said he would make a decision about his future with the Skagway Borough Assembly after he returns home. He was first elected in 1998. Judge Burgess decided against confiscating Henry's passport after hearing from defense attorney Robert Bundy. He explained that Henry routinely made trips across the border to Whitehorse for restaurant supplies. Sentencing is planned for May 18th. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thank you for supporting public radio. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.